the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
To hour number four of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. And before the end of the program, we're with you until 7 o'clock. We've got a lot to get to, and we look forward to bringing you comments from Kelly Harper as last night the Lady Vols fell to LSU as the Tigers bounced back to avenge the earlier loss at Thompson Bowling Arena. We'll have those. We look forward to being joined by Ron Morton as the Lead Lap opens its 23rd season on the air, and that'll be tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., and it's a special three-hour extravaganza from 10 until 1 as Ron will be live from Daytona. We have a practice report with Eric Kane, all that and more between now and the end of the program, but right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. Vince, what is up for grabs this evening?
John, it's a pair of passes to Wolf Ridge Ski Resort in Mars Hill, North Carolina. Each pass is good for a lift ticket and equipment rental.
All you have to do is be the first caller with the correct answer to this question. When we have Ron Morton on, we'll obviously talk about the Daytona 500. The Daytona 500 is certainly the Super Bowl when it comes to NASCAR, their biggest event. Kyle Busch is trying to win his first Daytona 500. He has the most career victories of any NASCAR driver without having won the Daytona 500. Who's second? Who's second? And believe me, it's a household name. But anyhow, tell us who has the second most career victories in NASCAR without ever having taken the checkered flag at Daytona. It is not an active driver. 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's go to Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hey, John.
Hi.
John, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
How are you, Vince?
Hanging in there, Danny. Hope you are.
You say it's not an active driver?
It is not an active driver.
Oh, probably Dale Earnhardt.
It is not Dale Earnhardt, but Danny, we sure do appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's go next to David. Hello, David.
Hey, how are you?
Doing fine, and yourself?
I'm doing well. How about Rusty Wallace?
David, you made this an awfully short Sports Fix at 6. That's well done. Kyle Busch has 56 NASCAR or Cup victories. Rusty Wallace had 55. So that is the hit. He never won the Daytona 500. But, David, you are our winner. Vince, tell him what he's won.
Pair passes to Wolf Ridge Ski Resort in Mars Hill, North Carolina. Each pass good for a lift ticket and equipment rental. Good job.
Yeah, way to go. Hang on the line so we can get your prize information, and we sure do appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
All right, and that takes care of the Sports Fix at 6. I thought we might get to at least to a third caller, but David, bam, that's it.
Very well
scoop
done.
Of vanilla, scoop of chocolate, don't waste my time. So why don't we go ahead and get to a Tennessee practice report with Eric Kane. It's brought to you by Pools by Heritage.
Eric Kane with the Pools by Heritage Tennessee basketball practice reports. The Volunteers hit the road tomorrow, head to South Carolina for a 6 p.m. tip-off against the Gamecocks, who are 15-9 on the year, 7-4, and tied for fourth in the SEC standings. The Vol Radio Network will carry the broadcast at 6 o'clock. Airtime will be at 5:30 right here on the Sports Animal. South Carolina is 7-2 since falling by 1 point in Knoxville about a month ago. Gamecocks score 71 points per game, shoot 43% from the field. On defense, give up just only 66 points a game. According to ESPN's Basketball Power Index, heading into Friday morning, South Carolina had a 53.8% chance of victory. Key wins on the season for South Carolina Virginia, which at the time was a top 10 ball club, and Kentucky just a couple weeks ago. The Gamecocks sit 65th in the net rankings and are led by A.J. Lawson with 14 points a game. Yesterday, Rick Barnes was asked about South Carolina and its good play of late. Here's what Rick Barnes had to say to the media Thursday afternoon, right before practice at Thompson Blowing Arena.
They're playing fast, which I think there's a misconception about South Carolina. They like to play slow and grind it, which they can do that. But they're playing much faster. Their guards are playing really well. And they just, I think they've run a little spread game where they're doing a great job of working the, you know, the elbow areas, the nail area, and just cutting, playing right there. But getting good guard play, getting good play from everyone. But they are really a team that you have to defend in the transition.
Again, that was Tennessee head basketball coach Rick Barnes on South Carolina and tomorrow's matchup against 6 o'clock at South Carolina right here on The Sports Animal. As far as the team's health, Rick Barnes said John Fulkerson is feeling better after being under the weather against Arkansas. Did say Jalen Johnson wasn't feeling as well on Thursday, but again, he's expected to play. Still no update on Josiah Jordan-James, who's missed the past 4 ball games with a leg injury. James has been doing some treadmill work, according to Rick Barnes. The head basketball coach was very pleased with the efforts from Devontae Gaines and Olivier Kumwa in Tennessee's victory over Arkansas earlier in the week. He said, Devontae Gaines has played great energy the past 4 games, has been very assertive, looking for consistency more from him, as well as Kumwa, who is starting to look more comfortable in the basketball game. And one more note on Rick Barnes' media availability on Thursday, asked about Juroš Plavšić and his minutes being diminished, and Rick Barnes said he's got to be more productive. It's as simple as that. It's more mental than physical with Juroš Plavšić. He's got to go in there, do some things in practice, and when guys like Gaines and Kumwa saw their numbers and their minutes start dwindling, they came in practice and they corrected it. And so Rick Barnes is looking for the same from Juroš Plavšić, but said nothing alarming. He is a freshman, expected the up and down play again because of his youth. Tennessee and South Carolina tip off tomorrow, 6 o'clock airtime on the Vol Radio Network. Can be heard right here on The Sports Animal at 5:30. Today's UT basketball practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call does it all. All Pools by Heritage at 947-7527, or visit online at poolsbyheritage.com.
So Eric Kane with a practice report, and Eric also had the call earlier this afternoon as Tennessee beat Western Illinois to open the 2020 season. 3-0 the final. You had a 2-run home run by Connor Pavloni, and then it was Jake Rucker with a solo shot in the 8th for a little insurance. Tennessee back in action tomorrow at 2 o'clock. We'll get a break. When we return, we'll be joined by Ron Morton from Daytona, as it's we're a couple of days away from the Daytona 500, and we're one night away from the season debut of year 23 of the lead lap. That's next on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. And tomorrow it is the season debut, year 23 of the lead lap. Ron Morton down in Daytona for the annual running of the 500. It's been an incredible week for him. And, of course, he is the pit boss. He joins us now as there'll be a three-hour extravaganza tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. from Daytona. That'll be where Ron is. The Hat Man will be in studio. Ron, how are you?
Good, guys. Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, right back at you. Certainly hope that we haven't kept, or have we already seen you go to dinner and come back since you've got the whole early bird special going?
Well, today was a little bit of work day, so I'm back on the young guy schedule. I'm going to get out and get some dinner here shortly, but had a little bit of time to put into the show, so I'm doing some show prep today just to kind of get ready for tomorrow.
And Ron joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates hotline. Tell us what folks will hear tomorrow morning, because it's going to be the fastest 3 hours in sports radio.
Yep, normally we're the fastest 2 hours in radio, but tomorrow at Daytona we've got so much packed in, we'll go 3 hours. That'll be 10 to 1. So you'll definitely want to set your alarm clock and get up a little bit late and get on with us at 10 o'clock. We'll be following Saturday morning sports talk, and man, we just got just a whole slew of guests lined up. We're going to have a special Hall of Fame hour in hour two, looking to have Winston Kelly to talk about the Hall of Fame class of 2020. We've got the old guys rule, like Leonard Wood, Dale Inman, coming on with us to talk in hour two. We've got the Moonshiners going to kind of turn it up a notch in hour three. We've got Mark and Digger, the Moonshiners from Discovery Channel, going to be on with us live to kick off hour three. Going to have a little bit of fun with that. And you never know who might show up in hour one. So I think we are going to check in with Chad Fincham. He didn't make the 500, but he'll be qualifying in his Xfinity car tomorrow at 11, and we're going to kick the show off and have Chad on with us a little bit to talk about the Xfinity race and also talk to us about his attempt to get into the 500. Of course, he's a Halls High graduate from Knoxville, Tennessee, so I know a lot of our listeners like to kind of follow that and see what's going on. So that's what's happening with Chad. That's an update with him, and we'll have him in the 10 o'clock hour talk to him personally.
What do you think in terms of the move for NASCAR to name the Cup Series trophy for the France family?
I think it's a great move. I was reading an article earlier in the week. You know, there had been all this rumbling about NASCAR being for sale for a couple of years, and they had certainly been doing some things to realign some of their corporations, bring everything back under one umbrella, putting a lot of money in some of the tracks that they own personally, like Phoenix. Went through a huge renovation last year. Obviously, Daytona International Speedway with the Daytona Rising project over the last couple of years, going through a multi-million-dollar facelift. So, but the fact is that I don't think that the Frances are going anywhere right now. And I think that regardless of what they do, they certainly they are NASCAR. I mean, Bill France Sr. started. This will be the 62nd running of the Daytona 500. And so Bill France Sr. is over all that, and the France family still super, super involved. So I don't think that you could have any more of an affectionate title than the France family.
Ron, after those blue-green vacations, dual races yesterday, starting lineup for the Daytona 500 is set. Anything interesting or noteworthy to you now that the starting lineup is completely set?
You know, I think one of the crazy things, and it has Knoxville ties, but obviously Stenhouse got in on speed, and he was sitting on the qualifying on the pole. You know, he lost his ride with Ralph Fenway last year, moved over to JTG Daugherty, which has Knoxville ties. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. But, man, he was super, super strong in his duel. So being in a brand-new race car, brand-new team, for him to sit on the pole and watch him race in the duel, I think he's going to be exciting to watch. Alex Bowman is going to line up on his outside. And then you've got Logano, Byron, Amarola, Johnson, Newman, and then Larson, Keselowski, and Harvick winding out the top 10. The real interesting thing in all of that is you got to go all the way to 14th place to find the Toyota. I would have never dreamed that in a million years that you wouldn't see Toyota in the top 10, but there's not a Toyota starting the Daytona 500 in the top 10.
Our guest, Ron Morton, and again, look forward to the lead lap making its season debut tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. It runs from 10 a.m. until 1 o'clock. Were you surprised that Daniel Suarez didn't make it through qualifying?
You know, it's kind of an odd night for me with Suarez because I was pulling for Fincham, and really Suarez was the best guy in the field that he needed to finish in front of. And so when he kind of got messed up there at the entrance to pit row, it sort of made me happy because I didn't feel like Fincham could beat him. I felt like he could finish in front of the other two guys that he needed to finish up, but I didn't think he was going to get in front of him. So when he spun out, I was sort of happy because it was pulling for the hometown guy. But that was just sort of a weird deal over there, all them trying to get in on pit row. And I think he just kind of got caught up in it, got spun around. And unfortunately, you know, when you crash at 180 to 200 mile an hour, a lot of times there's not much metal left in your car. So he definitely got on the hook and had to go behind the wall, and his night was over. So it's going to be interesting. You know, Cole Custer took the 41 ride in a rookie class and really, really did a great job in that car in his duel. So I think he's going to be somebody to watch. He's going to roll off number 12 position, and he's definitely going for the rookie of the year. So huge rookie class out there this year. Christopher Bell, obviously moving up. He's going to be in a rookie class. So a lot of guys to watch in this rookie class, and they're all running in the top 10, top 15 spots. The interesting thing about our sport is years ago, if you were a rookie, you didn't step into to a top ride or top team. But in today's standards in NASCAR, they're bringing these rookies right through the truck series. They're spending maybe a year, 2 years in the Xfinity series, and then they're moving them straight into Cup, and they're coming in a, say, a 14 tier. They're coming in as a fourth driver. They're as in good equipment as anybody else on their team, and they just don't have the seat time. So it's you got to watch the rookies. I think they're going to really put on a show. And, you know, there's a lot to be said about a rookie doesn't have seat time, but he also maybe doesn't have some of that fear that some of these guys that have been in the big one at Daytona and have tossed and turned down the front straightaway or the back straightaway 15, 16 times to land on their lid. They haven't done that. They hadn't gone through that. So we all know how we were when we were a little younger. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch some of these young guys tee it up tomorrow with the big boys.
Yeah, fine line between fearless and foolish, isn't there?
isn't that the truth? Yeah, about 25 years maybe.
Yeah. And
30 years maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Sure enough. And yeah, we talked
40
about
years maybe.
Yeah, we can keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. But absolutely.
What do you think in terms of, it looks like that a couple of teammates got sideways after the crash. That would be the Busch class from this past Sunday. But what do you think about Logano and Brad Kay supposedly ironing out any differences ahead of this big race this weekend?
Well, Logano went on to win his duel last night. So, I mean, it's sort of a put-up, shut-up moment for him. I think that was obviously the biggest chatter coming out of Daytona, having teammates sort of inadvertently, really Kozlowski went after him. I mean, really didn't have anything to do with Logano. Logano did some blocking. Kozlowski didn't like it, got his car tore up, didn't get to finish. Kind of went after him, and then at the end of it, he said, you know, I don't know, I'm going to take my family to Disney World, and we'll talk about it when we get back. But I'd say Penske diffused that situation pretty quickly.
So tomorrow morning, it goes 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. It's the 23rd season debut for the lead lap, and Ron, who makes it all possible?
Well, I tell you what, Food City has been our title sponsor through the years, and man, they've just been super great community partner. Bush's Beans, Cox General Contracting, Phoenix Conversions, Beginning Point Land Surveying, Bill Cox Furniture on board with us for the second year, CFI Insulation, and Ted Russell Ford sort of round up our top 10 and our car sponsors on the lead lap that allow us to be able to bring you the lead lap each and every Saturday for the next 27 weeks. So we certainly want to take our hats off and salute those guys, because we're just like the race cars out there. Without sponsorship on the door, we can't go racing.
You can follow the show on Twitter at the Lead Lap Radio, and you can also follow the man himself at Radio Morton. Ron, best of luck with the show. Safe travels. Have a great time in Daytona, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time, and we'll be listening for you in the morning at 10 o'clock.
All right. Sure do appreciate it. That's Ron Morton. Lead Lap comes your way tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. after Saturday Sports Talk.
And if you want more information or to get any of the podcasts, the previous shows, it'll be archived just like last year's shows are up there. Just go to the shows tab on our website, 991thesportsanimal.com, and you can find that show page information and all the podcasts, so you can, in case you miss it, you can go back and check it as well.
We'll get a break. When we return, comments from Kelly Harper as the Lady Vols fall to LSU last night. Sports Talk rolls on here at Oak Ridge Nissan. Still time to get down here and register for the Coors Light Climb to the Championship. We'll have five qualifiers from today's registration. Again, this is Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
The voices in our head may not be real, but they're loud and have some good ideas. This is 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. 656-9900 is how you join us. 656-9900. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Himes. We're here at Oak Ridge Nissan, where you still have time to get here and get registered for the Coors Light Climb to a Championship. You can come on down and become a qualifier if you're one of those drawn, but you can also right now be caller number 5 at 656-WINS, 656-9467, and you'll be a qualifier for the Coors Light Climb to the Championship. Grand prize winner will have two all-game ticket packages to the upcoming men's basketball tournament in Nashville, March 11th through the 15th, along with $500 spending money. So right now, caller number 5, 656-9467, 656-WINS, you'll be qualified for the Coors Light Climb to the Championship giveaway. Last night, it was a tough finish for Tennessee basketball as the Lady Vols were down one going into the fourth quarter, but LSU put up 26 points in the final 10 minutes of the ball game to win in the end by 10. Here's what Kelly Harper had to say after the ball game.
Kelly, this was the first game I can remember this season where, just like, especially in the first half, Tennessee looked like that they were just being outplayed. Did you see it that way?
Well, yeah, I thought LSU played with great confidence. We did not guard. We did not guard, and we gave up. That's the story of the game. I heard you say the rebound, and the story of the game was we didn't guard. And, you know, you've got to be able to I'm over there chasing, trying to figure it out. We switched defenses a million times, trying to find something that our players would guard in. But it doesn't matter if you don't guard, doesn't matter what defense you go to. So, that's frustrating. I'm off now two games. I did not think we guarded well against Mississippi State at home in our half court defense. So, we've got to get back to some basics there and make sure that we're locked in our, especially our half-court defense.
In the fourth quarter, you get into the fourth quarter only down one after being down by nine at 44-35. It was 49-48. And then all of a sudden, you allow them to shoot 58% in the fourth quarter, and it's hard to catch up when the other team's hitting 58%.
Right, right. And, you know, we had some just plays that we just did not execute. A lot of plays we didn't do what we were supposed to do, and that's tough. You know, whether it was how we were defending a ball screen or where we were in the position on our zone, and you know, one person out of position cost us. Every time we were out of position, they scored or got fouled, and that's where, at that point, you've got to have people that aren't going to mess those things up. If they're going to score, they're going to have to really beat you. And we just didn't have some executed plays down there in that fourth quarter.
You made a change in your starting lineup, and you said off air earlier today that you don't really like changing the lineups, but you did anyway. And it just Ray Burrell just never got on track like she did against Mississippi State.
No, she didn't. And obviously, I think the foul trouble hurt her. Obviously, the two fouls early, and then she plays less than a minute, you know, in the third quarter, gets her third. So she just couldn't really get going to help us. And, and we did it for a couple reasons, and obviously just to try to help Jordan as well. And, you know, I, I thought early on she was pretty good. She had some turnovers late, so we ended up with five. But we're playing around with that, trying to figure out what's best for our team.
And you knew it because it was in the scouting report that Alva Trossi was probably their best three-point shooter that was thrust into a starting role because of the injury to Mitchell, their post player, and she killed you, 5 3-pointers.
Yeah, and the issue there is too many roping. Okay, you she's got one. You realize, okay, this is our shooter. You got to get to her, but too many times we didn't. And, just awareness wasn't there. I didn't think we were sharp. We, bobble, knocked the ball out of bounds, two people going for the rebound, knock it out of bounds, just little things like that, you just keep shooting yourself in the foot. You've got to be better to win basketball games. And obviously LSU came in here and I knew they were going to play with poise and great confidence. And obviously Pointer's playing terrific. I mean, just absolutely playing terrific, running that team, and they did a good job.
They only had one loss at home. They only have one loss at home, and that was way back on November 9th against Florida State. So it is a tough place to play. But how do you get this team to bounce back? Because you got another team that you're now tied for in the SEC standings coming in with Texas A&M on Sunday.
Well, I told them we'll work on our defense tomorrow. We've got to make sure we're ready. But part of that is we've got to be better. And that's on us. We've got to get in there and got to get them better so that we're having less breakdowns. Give ourselves a chance because you got to be able to guard. You got to be able to make solid plays and not shoot yourself in the foot. So hopefully, we went too many turnovers a little bit in the second half. But again,
that wasn't really the problem.
No, I mean we did a pretty good job there in the first half. A little too many in the second half. But I think they scored over 12 or so over their average. That's where it is.
All right, Kelly. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Tonight here in Baton Rouge, Tennessee beaten by LSU. Final score 75-65.
So comments from Lady Vols coach Kelly Harper. You could tell not happy one bit, nor would she be and very frustrated at her team. She said that she wasn't pleased at all with how they defended or failed to against Mississippi State, and you didn't have Renia Davis in that game. You had her back for this game, but still very unhappy with her team. It was something. I wonder what practice was like today. As she said, we're going to work on defense.
Yeah, there's a good chance that they'll be sore and sleeping well tonight because, she did not waste any time getting right to it. We didn't defend, period. Exclamation point, actually. They've got to get better. They're capable of it. We've seen them. Remember earlier in the year, they were, when they were trying to figure out the three-point shooting and free throws, that's what they were hanging their hat on.
Yes.
And so it needs to get back to that level.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. If you want to get a question or comment in under the wire, 656-9900, 656-9900. Also, still time, if you can get here, to Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets Illinois Avenue. Since there are 19 minutes left in the hour, that means you still have 10 minutes to get here from anywhere.
That's right.
And get registered for the Coors Light Climb to a Championship. But a final segment to this hour of sports, of today's edition of Sports Talk, coming up as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Download the TuneIn app so you can take 99.1, The Sports Animal, with you wherever you go.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. And Vince, it's interesting. Today, a tweet by Tennessee Football, their Twitter account, says simply unfinished business and some comments from Tennessee's quarterback, Jarrett Garantano.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a review of what he went through last year and what this coming off season will be like for him and moving forward. So let's let you hear what Tennessee starting quarterback, returning starting quarterback Jarrett Garantano had to say today via Twitter.
The beginning of the year for me was definitely very challenging. It was nothing that I had envisioned going into the year.
Obviously, I had to take a step back for a couple of games and come off the bench, but it really taught me a lot about myself. It taught me a lot about the teammates around me, my friends, my family. And being able to do that, I think, made me a better football player and a better person. It taught me that I was determined. It taught me that I can get through the tough times. And being able to really get a six-game win streak and end it off with a bowl win, it really meant a lot. I mean, honestly, starting out the way that we did, there's probably nobody that thought that we would even make it a 6-6 or whatever it was, but being able to go 8-5 and finish off the year like we did was impressive to us, and we just know that we have a lot going into this year riding, and we know that we have to capitalize. The things that kept me motivated most last year was really my teammates, my family. They kept me up, they kept me energized, and they kept me wanting to keep going on, and without them, I don't think I would have been able to do the things that I did last year. I want to show everyone that I can be the most consistent. The past couple of years, I haven't been very consistent. It's been very up and down, but this coming year, I'm going to take week by week. This is my first time in my career that I'm going to have a coordinator for a second year, and I think it's going to impact me a lot for the good. I have to go in every day and absolutely make myself learn new things, but being able to have the same coordinator is definitely good for myself and good for my teammates. I can definitely grow as a leader in this upcoming season, just from whether that's staying extra hours of the night or that's even being more vocal with my teammates. And going into this year, I know it's my senior year, and I know I have to speak up some more. My unfinished business for 2020 is to be the best quarterback that I can be a leader of this football team, and to go to the SEC championship.
Comments from Jared Garantano.
Interesting. You know, all good comments. Very direct in talking about that he'll get a chance to work for the second year with the same offensive coordinator, something that Trey Smith has mentioned also as a real plus. Look, he's thinking his professional future also, and this only benefits him. So good things there. He's always worked hard, and he's going to need to take it to another level, and hopefully he can take that jump and hold off the competition, because there will be the expectation that he'll get pushed.
Tennessee baseball today opened with a win. Afterward, Connor Pavlone, who staked the Vols to a 2-0 lead in the bottom of the second, talked about his first home run of the season and the Tennessee victory.
He was mixing really well early. He started Russell off with a breaking ball, so I had a feeling he was starting me off with 1-2, and had a really good take. But I think Russell's AB was probably the most important part of that, because he was grinding for that hit, and leading into that, the guy's more fatigued, and got him down 3-1, and left fastball in the middle and did what I was supposed to.
What did you see out of Chad and Sean on the mound today?
Chad's the best I've ever seen him. Caught a lot of his bullpens, but today it was coming out really well. He had really, really good command early, especially with the fastball. I wouldn't say that he was overpowering, but that's how it looked. He's not a big velo guy, but he was overpowering their hitter state just because he was in the zone. He was throwing everything for a strike.
The season's a marathon, not a sprint, but I mean, for you to come out here first game and get a two-run shot, what does that mean to you, and how does that help your confidence move forward?
It's a dream come true. You know, you kind of dream about hitting opening day home runs, or just starting on opening day was kind of a dream come true for me. I was talking to my parents, you know, earlier this week, and, you know, we talked about how hard we worked for this, and, you know, to get the start today was awesome, and there's nobody else I'd rather catch or a team that I'd rather play in front of.
Seems like you started to turn a corner at the plate at the end of last year. Do you really feel like today was a homer, and you kind of continuing that success on this season?
Yeah, I think our coaching staff is really good at what they do. I think the work that we put in the cages is starting to show, and the tireless hours that I put in with Coach Elaner and Coach Vitello, and the work that we put in here is just kind of accumulation. I wouldn't say that it was really a flip of the switch, but I think it all is kind of coming together, and it feels good. You know, hopefully we can keep it going.
I was more comfortable behind the plate in terms of catching and communicating with the pitchers day one of sophomore season compared to as a freshman?
Incredibly more comfortable. I think if you noticed last year when I caught Wingo on Saturday, I think I was literally shaking at the first pitch, and today it was really calm. I had a really good approach to the game. I read the scouting report, watched the video, did all that, and I feel like I wouldn't say that we were the better team, but I think we were more prepared, and I think I was more prepared, and that's why I was comfortable, because our preparation led to that.
Certainly a lot of new faces on the mound this season. Do you guys feel like you guys had the same success that y'all had last year?
Absolutely. Obviously, losing Stallings, Lingo, Schultz, you know, it's a big loss, but I wouldn't say that they're replaceable guys, but I feel like we have what it takes to do what we want to do, and I wouldn't feel like we you know, we're stopped, like stopped in our tracks. I wouldn't feel like we took a break or anything like that. You know, you saw today as a new guy on the mound starting on opening day. Chad fills it up, and that's kind of the motto for the staff, is they're going to fill it up with four pitches, and good luck.
We've seen out of Sean both last couple of innings.
He's filling it up, just like Chad. Little run to the ball. He's throwing from a little lower slot, it looked like. But, I mean, even with his fastball, it just looked like guys didn't even know it was coming. It's really heavy out of his hand. He's a high spin rate guy, but, you know, he was shaking to his fastball. So, you know, you could tell that he was confident in what he was throwing, and that's all you can ask for. He's throwing it up. He was confident.
With it being Valentine's Day and this game being looked at as a pretty romantic game, can you kind of just talk about your love of the game a bit?
Yeah, I've been playing this game my whole life. You know, this is something that I've wanted to do since I was a kid. I think the amount that I love this game, you know, surmounts anything that I've probably ever loved in my life. And I think that's why I work so hard at it, because, you know, you want to be good, and I want to be good for the guys on the mound. And so this game has given me a lot, and I've been extremely blessed with the talents to get me here. And, you know, I owe a lot to this game for you know, doing a lot for me, but I'm extremely thankful for it, and I'd do anything to play this game.
That's Connor Pavloni. Let's hear from winning pitcher Chad Dallas.
It was awesome. Hearing that Crochet went down with some soreness, nothing major. Everybody was wondering who it would be, and finally got the call. And the whole team was behind me, and they were excited to be supportive of me, and it was really exciting. Being out there was truly awesome, especially being on opening day. Coach A and Connor, they called a great game, and the team played great defense behind me.
Five shutout innings in your debut as a Tennessee Vol. Could you have asked for a better start?
No, I couldn't. Like I said, the team was playing great defense behind me. I can't thank them enough. Connor worked his tail off behind the plate. So,
what was working so well for you on the mound?
What was working? The fastball had good command at the beginning, and the breaking ball was working pretty well. They started chasing a little bit, and later on, they stopped chasing as much. So therefore, I had to dig in a little deeper and find the zone a little more. So.
What was it like to have that kind of trust, you know, to come in new to a place and get the first chance to pitch in the season?
It's huge. This team, this staff has taken me in like family. Coming in from junior college, I couldn't have asked for a better place. Feels really good that they trusted me with the ball, trusted me with this team, and just feels really good.
Because there's two strikeouts in the first inning, just how big was that for your confidence and just kind of helping you settle down?
It felt really good. First two strikeouts, yeah, that was a big one. I think what was even bigger was the first pitch of the game was a strike, and that really calmed me down a little bit.
Something you really want to work on moving into your next appearance, whether that be in a star or whether that be in relief?
I would say having better control of my breathing. Sometimes in certain situations, your breathing starts to pick up a little bit, and so I think maybe stepping off the mound, controlling my breathing will help me in the long run.
More. With it being Valentine's Day, baseball looked at as a pretty romantic sport. Can you kind of just talk about your love of the game a little bit?
Started when I was really young with my father. He taught me everything and showed me his love of the game, so it passed on to me. And you know, it's brought me here, and couldn't be any more thankful for it.
What's it like just to be at Tennessee at this point, like to actually have the season get started? Is it surreal? Has it sunk in that this is your new opportunity?
It's awesome. Coming to Tennessee has been the best decision, and this whole team has been working really hard. We've been grinding in the weight room and on the field in school, you know, getting us prepared for these type of games and opening day. So being here right now is honestly just a blessing.
What went into making that decision to come to Tennessee?
The staff, the coaching staff. I did my research on a couple of schools. And with Coach Anderson, Coach Vitello, Coach Elander, Kivett, all of those guys, I saw what they did last year and the years before them here at Tennessee and the years that they were here and the progress that they've made. I just knew it was a great decision.
Chad Dallas gets the win. Sean Hundley gets the save. Home runs for Connor Pavloni and Jake Rucker as Tennessee wins 3-0. Volunteers back in action tomorrow at 2:00. That's going to do it. Come take advantage of the sale here at Oak Ridge Nissan.